Well, welcome to South Point. My name's Tanner. I'm on staff here, and we've been in this series of messages called The Game of Life, where we've compared life and our faith to a game. And the subtitle of the series is, It's Your Move. Now, we should have called it, It's Your Turn, if we had thought about this based on that clip that we were going to show. But today, this is our final piece, and we're talking about it's your turn right now, your turn to make a decision. And I think that we all play games with people, and oftentimes while we're playing the game, it's someone else's turn. Someone else is up to bat. Someone else is rolling the dice. Someone else is drawing a card. And really, someone else is deciding what they are going to do, what decision they will make. And now, eventually in the game, it is your turn to decide what you are going to do. Now, the Bible is full of examples of real people who took their turn, who really had to make their own decision about what they're going to do. And if you've read the Bible, you will know that sometimes it turns out where people make a decision of faith, and it propels them towards faith. And sometimes people just walk away. And for us, we have to make the decision. The Bible is not full of just perfect saints who are making decisions. In fact, it is full of real-life people who are facing real-life situations just like you and me. Now, today we're going to talk about someone who realized it was his turn. He realized it was his move. It was his turn to decide what he was going to do. He is not a church person at all. You can see this by the life that he led up to this point. But his name, I'll tell you his name. Some of you may know his story. His name is Zacchaeus. And you can assume what you want about him, but certainly not someone who had wrestled, or certainly not someone who was just a church person who had faith his whole life. But we see his story told really shortly here in the book of Luke, and a really, really incredible story. So we're going to read this and take away a few observations from this. So Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. There we go. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when he reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, that's a little bit intrusive, right? But this is what he says. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, which he had, he said, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So Zacchaeus really understood that it was his turn. What is this? What does this really mean for us? I believe that we can use him as an example. And first things first, Zacchaeus, before he really did anything, he made this decision that he was going to take an honest look at who Jesus was. I'm going to take an honest look at who Jesus was. Zacchaeus was not someone who already had his mind made up about who Jesus was. He was someone who was curious. He was open to the prospect of Jesus. He had heard of Jesus. He had heard other people talk about Jesus. And he wanted to see what really all the noise was about when it came to Jesus. So he said, I'm going to take an honest look. I'm going to go look at who Jesus is, and I'm going to see for myself. Now, this was uncommon because there were other groups who really, honestly, they did not take an honest look at who Jesus was. So I'm going to mention two of them. When we look at when Jesus existed, when he walked the earth here in the first century, there were two groups that I would say really did not take an honest look for different and various reasons. The first group was a religious group of people, the Pharisees. They were a religious group of, in fact, the leaders who really followed every rule very, very strictly. And really what they assumed when they encountered the person of Jesus, they started with an assumption that Jesus was not the Messiah. Jesus was not who he says he was. Jesus claimed to be Lord. He claimed to be the one who was supposed to come. He claimed to be really God in flesh. And they started out with this assumption, he can't be. He can't be. We know who he is. We know who his family is. We know where he came from. There's no possible way that Jesus can be who he says he is. They started with that assumption. In fact, they asked him a lot of questions. They actually went to Jesus. They asked him a lot of questions. But Scripture is very clear that when they asked him questions, they really had their mind already made up. What they were really trying to do is they were trying to trap him in something that he said. They were trying to receive an answer, be able to throw a red flag and say, see there, that proves it. Jesus is not who he says he is. There's no way he can be who he says he is. There's just no possible way. They started with this assumption that Jesus was not who he says he was. The other group that I would say started with this assumption for a different reason, and that was the crowds. The crowds, when you read the story of Jesus, they're really a kind of a nameless group of people who follow Jesus, and they follow Jesus in the moment. When they follow Jesus, they really do so because they like his teaching, one, and they want to receive healing. A lot of times they're after Jesus because they want to receive physical healing because of something they're facing in their own life. They have something going on, whether with them or with a family member. They want healing from Jesus. They've heard about how Jesus in the past has healed people. So they say, I want to come to you, Jesus. I want to receive this healing that you promised that I've seen and heard about elsewhere. Now, that's not a criticism, but really when we see the crowds, most of the time what they do, they see the person of Jesus through their own lens. They see the person of Jesus through really what he can do for them. And I say this just as a side note, if you are in this place where you are struggling with maybe it's this, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's something financially where you have debts piling up, maybe you're wrestling through this really big hurt in your life. Sometimes it's really tough to see past your own circumstance. You can't hardly see anything else. And honestly, this is one of the reasons why we are passionate about things like Financial Peace University. Because when you have money problems weighing in on you, it's really hard to actually even take an honest look at Jesus. When you have a hurt, habit, or hang-up, it's really hard to take an honest look at Jesus for beyond what he can do for you. And that's why we say, you know what, we want to find healing, we want to take practical steps in here. Why? So this can free us up actually to take an honest look at Jesus. And this is what we see. This is what we see Zacchaeus doing. Zacchaeus says, you know what, I've heard about Jesus, and I want to come, and I want to take this honest look at Jesus. Now, what I believe this means for you and me is that we say, you know what, I've heard about Jesus, but I want to actually read and encounter the stories of Jesus for myself. And a challenge, a takeaway from here is if you have not done this in a long time, or maybe you've never done this, you actually open up the Bible and you read about Jesus for himself. That you're not like the Pharisees, you're not closed-minded. Again, sometimes we can evaluate and judge someone for being closed-minded, but sometimes we do the very same thing. That you don't do that, you're not like the Pharisees and just write him off, that you say, you know what, I'm going to actually take an honest look, I'm going to read the story of Jesus for myself, and I'm going to bring to him all the questions that I have, and I'm going to let him speak into those. One thing that I've noticed as I'm reading through the book of Mark right now is how many times people start this conversation with Jesus. And a lot of those questions are the same questions that you and me have, that we come and that we bring these questions to Jesus and we say, you know what I'm going to do? First and foremost, I'm going to take a look at, when it's my turn, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at Jesus. And this brings us to our second point, what I believe that Zacchaeus does well. Zacchaeus does not let the crowd stand in the way, both literally and figuratively. Both literally and figuratively, the crowd met Zacchaeus with condemnation and judgment and self-righteousness that was seemingly in the way of Jesus. Physically, Zacchaeus was short. And most of the time when there's a crowd of people and you have someone who is shorter than you, you do not mind to let them in front of you. It doesn't really impact your view. But Zacchaeus could not physically get in front of people. Why? Is it because the people were just rude? No. It's because they despised Zacchaeus for what he did. They could not stand for what he represented. And if you're new to Scripture and it says, okay, well, Zacchaeus is a tax collector, let me break that down, what that really means. In the first century, the Jewish people had their state run by the Roman governments. The tax collectors were people who were Jewish people who said, you know what, I'm going to turn, kind of flip sides here, and I'm going to work from the Romans collecting taxes from my own people. In fact, a pastor that I heard speak this, he said, here's the equivalent of this. Here's a comparison really from the last century. It might be the same as a French person who cooperated with the Nazis when they took over France in World War II. And tax collectors were seen in their day as traitors. They sold their soul for money. They sold out the community for money. And therefore, these people despised Zacchaeus. They would not physically or figuratively let Zacchaeus in. And what I would say about the crowds, when we look at the word crowds in Scripture, I think that we can say that the crowds were bigger fans of Jesus than they really were followers of Jesus. And what that means is that they liked to hear Jesus teach, they liked to receive some of his healing, they liked all those things about him, but they still looked at other people, looked at sinners as beyond what Jesus could do. And I believe that this is the difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. Fans of Jesus continually exclude people who sin differently than they do. That's what a fan does. They like his teaching, they like what he can do for them. But if you sin a way that they don't sin, they're going to judge and evaluate you based from their position. But followers of Jesus, here's what followers of Jesus understand. They understand, followers of Jesus really understand their own need for grace. They don't reject anyone. And here's what I think is so impressive about Zacchaeus, is he does not let the crowd get in the way of his honest look about Jesus. Honest look at Jesus. He's determined to take an honest look. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you have been there. Maybe the crowd is in your way right now. You've been turned off by self-righteousness in the past. You've had a hurt in the past. And maybe it's been directed at you. Maybe it's directed at someone you love. Or maybe it's just directed at how religious people have treated Jesus. And the temptation during that moment is to turn around, to run away, and to assume that, you know what, if Jesus' fans are like this, then Jesus is like this. But here's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus says, no, I'm going to see Jesus just for himself. I'm not going to let the crowd get in the way. I'm going to take an honest look at him. And here's what he did. He took an honest look at Jesus, and when you take an honest look at Jesus, here's what you're going to find. You are going to find grace. You're going to find grace. And here's what I mean. This is the difference between what I would call religion and grace. A lot of religions say, hey, you need to do this 1, 2, 3, 4. You do these 4 or 5 things and you're in. But the problem and the challenge with that is if you are not someone who does 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, are you going to ever be in? How are you going to be evaluated? And Jesus, what he says is salvation doesn't come, this relationship with God doesn't come by you doing 1, 2, 3, or 4. Rather, it comes through me. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in this story, but in verse 9, it says that Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to come to your house today. That's verse 5. 4 verses later in verse 9, here's what it says here. Jesus says, today salvation has come to your house. Jesus first says, I'm going to come to your house. Then he says, salvation has come to your house. What he is saying, the translation is, he's saying, I am salvation. You come to God through me. Meaning, you come by grace. You don't come by doing this. I'm a good person who does this, and this. No, you come through grace. And this is why this is different than anything else that we experience. When we come to Jesus, we will find this welcome grace because Jesus has done for us everything that we need to do. And that what Zacchaeus realized, what he understood here, when he encountered Jesus, he encountered grace. He was really knocked over by grace. And what we see is that Zacchaeus said, I'm going to respond by immediately taking action. I'm going to respond when I encounter something as great as this, awe-inspiring as the grace of Jesus. I'm going to take action. It is what I must do. And that is, I believe, where we are. When we encounter the grace of Jesus, when we take an honest look at Jesus, when we don't let the crowd get in the way, we encounter grace that we say, you know what, I must take action. And I don't know what that action is. We're having baptisms today. It may be baptism as your action. It may be a different step of faith that you say, you know what, God's leading me towards this. I need to take a step of faith because of the grace of Jesus. Now, here's what I love about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus says, yes, I'm in. I'm going to respond. You know, it's really commonplace in Scripture for Scripture to say, here's what you need to do when thinking about money. You give 10% of money back to God. Now, here's what I love about Zacchaeus. One, that Zacchaeus says, I'm going to respond. And he does so, which is probably the toughest thing for us to respond with our resources, our finances. And Zacchaeus says, not 10%, I'm going to give 50% away. And then he goes and say, theoretically, hypothetically, if I've ever cheated anyone, which he has done over and over and over, he says, I'm going to pay them back four times the amount that I actually cheated out of them. Now, we may not see that. We may not see the details behind this, but really what Zacchaeus is saying about himself, this comment about paying back four times the amount, this is a comment that Zacchaeus is saying, hey, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm seeing who I am, I'm seeing myself for who I really am, and I'm comparing myself to the person of Jesus, and I'm just floored that Jesus would know everything about me, that he would neither condemn me, nor at the same time condone just everything that I do, that he would want me in his family. He says, I'm going to pay back four times the amount. What Zacchaeus is really saying when he's saying that is, look, I consider myself to be a sinner in need of grace. I consider myself to be a sinner in need of grace. And really what he does is he reminds me of another writer in Scripture here, the Apostle Paul. Paul, when he encountered Jesus, I love when you look at, like, when Paul wrote some of his letters, he just grew in his understanding of grace. When he first said yes to Jesus, he says, you know, I'm the least of the apostles. The apostles, this group of about 12, 13 people, Paul says, you know what, compared to these guys, I'm nothing. Then he writes a few years later, and he describes himself as the least of all God's people, which is all the church. He says, out of these thousands of people, yeah, you know what, I'm probably the least because I know who I really am. And even my religious things that I do, I don't do them completely selflessly. And then he writes a few years later, and he says, you know what, I'm probably the worst sinner out of everybody in the world. He grew in his understanding of grace, and this is what Zacchaeus did. When Zacchaeus says, I'm going to pay back four times the amount, you know what he was actually doing? He's actually going back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament had as the punishment for the worst economic crime, which happened to be stealing cattle. I know a temptation for a lot of us today. We want to steal cattle. But the punishment for that was that you pay back four times what you owe. What Zacchaeus is saying is, hey, look, I consider myself someone desperately, desperately in need of grace. My encouragement today is that as we experience our turn, when we have the dice, when it's our turn to make a decision, what we first and foremost do is we say, I'm going to take an honest look at who Jesus is. I'm not going to let the crowd stand in the way. And I'm going to encounter Jesus by his grace. And when I do that, I'm going to respond by taking action. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your grace and for your love. I thank you that we can have total confidence in you. God, that when we really encounter you for who you are, for your love, God, that you are someone that we can place our faith in. You are someone that we want to have this relationship with, and that we can trust you. And when we step out on faith, sometimes beyond us, God, I pray that you give us courage, because we are finite people who can't see very far down the road. God, we certainly don't have your view. And sometimes, God, our lack of faith, our lack of realizing who you are, just prompts us to stay right where we are. God, I believe you are someone who wants us to move forward, to take steps. And God, if there are those here who are just starting their journey, God, I pray that you give them the courage to just take an honest look at Jesus and that you don't let any of the crowd get in the way. God, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray.